Blog Talk Radio.
And here we go.
Now might be a really good time to go gang.
That's my secret, Captain.
I'm always in.
We have to go for it. Sincerely believe this is fucking awesome.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Hello, 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 hello. Thank you guys for tuning in again. We apologize that we were not on 2 weeks ago, but we are back. Of course, you are listening to Geeksploitation's STG, which of course stands for Sharp Teeth Geeks. That's Nerds with Spite. The name is long, but, you know, trying to be original and finding something that someone doesn't already have is hard. But I'm here, of course, with Robert and Chris. How are you guys doing tonight or today?
Pretty good, okay. Man. You know, just being lazy on the Saturday.
I know. I'm mad lazy. But we figured we'd do something fun today, kind of rewind things back to when we were kids, you know, before we had the internet and iPads and tablets and stuff, and bring it back to basics. But we would do some fucked up shit as kids. So, you know, we got the whole, you know what I'm saying, be home before the street light comes on. I don't know if that's still a thing, but I remember that for me, my parents were always, you know what, go outside and play. They didn't have to worry about it. You know, we didn't have no GPS tracking devices, but they would always say, make sure you get your ass home before those lights come on. And if you weren't, they'd come out and find you. And back in those days, it was like almost like neighborhood watch. Like, my neighbors, even if my parents were home, my neighbors would keep an eye on me. They'd be like, you know, if Kevin, you know, left the street, you know, he left the street. So people cared back then, but, you know, I miss those days, especially if you grew up in certain type of, I don't want to say the projects or anything like that, but you have like a clicky neighborhood and you play those messed up games. I don't know how it was for you, but like I know what, like for me, like we were some badass kids. We were bad.
Yeah, I think that we were kind of the same way, and you know, we were talking before. I mean, we had anything from like crab apple fights to rock fights. To, actually, as we got older, we would go out, we cut lawns, we go around and cut people's grass for like $20 a pot, and we knew a dude, older dude that would sell fireworks, so we'd go buy fireworks and we'd buy like as many bottle rockets and whistlers as we could and aroma candles, and we'd have firework fights. So yeah, we were kind of fucked up.
Oh, we were fucked up. And like Chris, you're a little bit younger than us, but you know, you had a childhood too. Like what are some things that you remember that you did as a kid?
I didn't do too much. I was more of an indoor child. A lot of physical stuff. When I would have time to get out, I used to cross a couple of Bassett State Park. I used to go a couple in the park. Sometimes I would do some archery, maybe some gun shooting. So, yeah, I was a little more really bad at it. I had a redneck for a best friend for many years.
Now, your phone was kind of breaking up. I'm not sure if, Robert, did you hear that?
Yeah, that was, I don't know, I'm getting some kind of weird feedback.
Yeah, go ahead, probably back too.
But, the one thing I remember is when you brought up the crab apple thing, I don't think I've seen those that much anymore, but I remember, like, you know, trying to hide in the bushes and wait until the cars would go by. And I don't know why we did this, but remember how you'd whip them? You'd whip them, and you'd actually see them, like, bounce underneath the car, like, almost, like, and the president would pull it, and we'd all go running off somewhere. Or you brought up the thing with the, with the fireworks. Remember how we used to take those little caps and you would just sit on the street with a rock and just pop. You do that shit for like 15, 20 minutes. It had to, and the street would get all blackened because the gunpowder would like damage the tar. We were some tore-up kids.
I mean, unless you were a dickhead like me and you take like the whole roll of caps and you smash it with a rock so it would catch fire and they'd all like go.
I never tried that. Did that actually work?
Yeah.
I've never tried that, but it's funny because we were talking about before how Whammo used to make all these crazy outdoor kind of games and toys, and some of them were mad dangerous. And I was reading how those lawn darts, like some people were actually throwing them at
people. You can't get the metal ones.
What are they made out of now?
They're like rubber and plastic.
For real?
Yep. Yeah, because people get fucked up by those. But I remember those. You'd stand there like as a group and you'd chuck one straight up in the air.
But that's one of, it's like when you read that someone's getting tore up by those, I'm thinking, like, I mean, those things were, one, they were heavy.
Yeah.
Two, they were huge. They were at least, what, maybe like a foot long. And they had this long ass dart. Now, I never owned them. But weren't they for, like, not horseshoes, but, like, you put, like, a hoop? And I guess
yeah,
you just kind of
like
toss it.
You put a ring on the ground, and you try to throw it up and get it to land inside the ring.
And I'm trying to figure out, like, were people just standing too close, or were those, like, the kids that took the lawn darts and started using them in their own style of a game?
Well, that's what I think was happening, is that people were actually just starting to, you know, well, we kids, we'd just be fucking retards and we'd throw them at each other. And then, you know, when you got older, you know, they get drunk and start just throwing them like animals. So, yeah, I mean, people were just getting fucked up. But, I mean, the whole thing of making them illegal and shit like that, that's a whole different topic that I just don't even want to start getting into right now.
Making those lawn darts illegal?
Yeah.
Well, that's a hot mess. And then they made our horseshoes illegal?
No, horseshoes are still legal.
Because, I mean, I know, like, you know, we could be hard-headed as kids and we get ourselves in dangerous situations.
I don't know if they're illegal. I think they changed the way that they made it. I don't know if there's some kind of, like, a regulation now.
But the weird thing is like, back in those days, we had all kind of dangerous toys. And it was kind of, you know, upon us to have common sense and, you know, not kill ourselves. Because we had the toys, like Whammo puts out the weird toys, but they had those ones where you attach to a garden hose. And, of course, you know, and some of them sprinkle. But some of that shit used to fuck us up as a kid. We had one that, oh, my gosh, I can't think of the name of it, but it looked like a pail with a smiley face on it. And you put the hose, you connect the hose into the bottom of it, and it, you know, the water would kind of force its way through, and it would whip around like a snake. And that was like hot-ass plastic. And that shit would hit you in the jaw, hit you in the knee. It could wrap around your ass, you know, like Medusa and shit. And remember, we'd go in the house, and we'd have bruises. We would get fucked up. So, like, remember that whole shit with the slip and slide? That whole controversy about that.
Ooh, that was always painful.
Remember? Slip and slide? Do they still have that?
To be honest, slip and slide is not the fastest because of all the rocks.
Oh, the stuff underneath.
Yeah, you lay it out on the floor, you're all happy, then the first person to fly gets the rock.
I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny, but it's like, you know, something like that, you should kind of, you know, go in your backyard, you know, just go through, you know, make sure there's nothing, you know, rocks. But you always heard that story about, oh, the one kid where there must have been a bottle, and he slid across the slip and slide, and it cut him in half. Have you guys ever heard that story?
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
or like, they went and they slid and they went like past the end point and went out in the street. I'm thinking, wait a second. But those were funny ass urban legends when we had those kind of toys. But I don't ever see those anymore, those like backyard water toys. I don't see I do see Sip and Slide sometimes, but it's a little thicker, and it doesn't travel as far. But you don't really see kids out there playing. I think the best toys were the ones, or the games were the ones that we made up ourselves. Like you guys remember not Simon Says, but you guys remember Hot Peas and Cold Butter? Have you heard of that?
Not at all.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
It might have been a different name. Robin, have you heard of that one before?
I think he's trying to call back in under a different line to get rid of some of the static.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, you might know Hot Peas and Cold Butter by a different name, but a group of kids would get around, and then one person would actually go somewhere. It could be a ball or a stick, and they would go hide something. And then, of course, they come back and they say, okay. And then when people go to look for it, you say, you're hot. The further away from it, you go, oh, you're cold. But if someone finds it, they're going to try, for us, we were weird. For us, we had a belt. So when the person, whoever got the belt, he tried to whip as many of the kids he could find before they could get back to home base, or what they used to call goose. For us, it was called Hot Peas and Cold Butter. But I know you guys must have heard that kind of game before. We're like, oh, you're hot. You're cold, you're warm. And they find the object and just basically wreck havoc in the neighborhood trying to get these kids.
All right, that I have heard of. I think I knew that's hot and cold.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the name would have been, but I know for the kids in the hood, it was hot peas. Like when you get back to the kids after you hide the object, you say, hot peas and cold butter, and they'd run off and go look in, and of course you're like, oh, Tony's hot. Oh, Robert's cold. Oh, Chris is boiling. He's steaming. And, of course, when you hear the person saying that, you know, all the kids either try to get to the goose or they try and get the object.
What the fuck
I got to
be cold for?
What's that?
So what the fuck I got to be cold for?
do you remember that game? I mean, for us, it was called Hot Peas and Cold Butter, but that shit was on the chain. Or Freeze Tag.
Freeze tag. Yeah, we did freeze tag sometimes, but I don't know. It seemed like when we were kids, for us in our neighborhood, we did a lot more. We did a lot of football games. And we would take wiffle ball bats, and we'd put electrical tape all around them. We'd use a tennis ball, and we'd play like baseball like that. And you could crank them balls far away.
What about kill the man with the ball? You guys must have played that one.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
That shit was... Now, I'm trying to remember because I didn't play too much with that because I was the youngest one of the group. But was that basically... It wasn't football. What was the group
it,
behind
it
that?
It was
just
like it'd be a ball. It'd almost be like one-man rugby. That's the closest thing. Because you would just, throw the ball and you'd have, a scrum.
Right. But was there a goose, when you got the ball, what was it you were trying to do? Were you trying to put it,
not
trying to get a point?
Up.
Was that it?
When I was a kid, you want to get fucked up.
I'm trying to remember, because I could have sworn there were points involved. And I thought you had to either tag a tree, tag a tree, and then you throw the ball up, and then they get it, and then, everyone, I mean, that's it. I remember seeing kids get thrown to the ground for that shit.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, we used to get fucked up. We got older when we were in high school. We had a game we played, we called Letter B. And it was basically if you said anything that started with the letter B, you'd get fucked up unless you could knock on something that was worth. So, if you were, in the middle of the hallway, and, you were just surrounded by lockers, you were going to get fucked up.
So it was called the Letter B?
Yeah.
And you would, and if somebody said something with the letter B, they'd just start wailing on your ass?
So, yeah, if you was just blah, 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 that chick's a bitch, all of a sudden, you would just start getting beat on. And, unless you could knock on, hit, a door that was made out of wood or something like that, you could get fucked up.
I've never heard of that before. That sounds almost like a college type of thing.
We did that shit when we were in high school.
High school was a trip. High school was a trip because you'd always have that click. I always wonder if kids do those bonding type of things that we, like, you know, that we did as a child, because you can never keep our asses inside. Like, if, I mean, remember when you got grounded, you had to stay inside, and you'd be looking out the window as your kids, as your friends be out there all playing, and they'd be coming up to the window like, "Oh, Robbie, you can't come out. You can't come out. No, I'm on punishment." They're like, "Oh, okay," and you'd be hearing them outside playing and shit, and you'd be in your room all crying.
So now you like crack your window and you try to like get them to come pocket your window for a minute.
I remember they'd be like, "My mom's cooking. Go to my bedroom window and I'll crack it open a little bit. And God forbid if she heard your ass."
Mm-hmm.
I
get fucked up.
And, and all the kids would run from your window all crazy, like, "Oh, here comes Mrs. Hayes. Here comes Mrs. Hayes," and they'd be gone. But I miss those days. I remember, we were talking about this before, and Chris, because you're into tabletop games, you might remember some of this too. That game called Trackball, where you had those giant like mitt type things, and you can control the flow of the ball. I mean, you could stand nowhere to the line. At least these kids could be like 20 feet from each other, maybe even further, and you would whip it, and that ball would do like curves and swerves, and the other person would catch it. And it was only this long, what do you say, Robert, like a long black track. And
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. Well, inside, it was like a track. And
no, I don't remember that.
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, talk about exercise, because you'd be running back. And it reminded us a lot of that thing they were playing in Tron. Well, they were whipping and catching, but that was fantastic. Yep, with the discs. But that was a fantastic, fun game. And that just vanished. And it was a like, black racket with like these giant, extremely light, hard plastic balls. They had like a weird texture on the outside, but you could like it would go. It was weird. It would curve around, not go around corners. Well, I mean, I guess you could make it go around the corner, but it was insane. You'd be out there playing that shit for like hours, and you don't see kids doing that kind of interaction anymore.
Well, it's kind of funny because, I remember going in taking my kid into like Stoke Center and kind of looking around. My mother used to work on one side of the center. We would go there after school, and I'd walk to the Army Navy store. I went to the movie theater in Stoke Center and saw Return of the Jedi by myself. And I just remember being there with my kid and like looking at him and like, you know, it was kind of, he was at that same age that I was at. And I was like, holy shit, I don't let him out of my fucking life.
Right.
So, I mean, part of it is, you know, us as parents being fucking terrified, you know, with social media, 24-hour news, and everything else is like, you get that shit all up in your face, you know, 24-7 about, you know, this happened to this kid, there was this kidnapping, and this and that, and all the shit that you see on TV, Criminal Minds and shit like that, and it's like, hell no, that's not going to be my kid. And as a parent, you get fucking, you're scared. You're scared as a parent.
I was curious.
I remember being his age, and sometimes, it was like, don't come home to, you know, you don't have to be until the streetlights come on. Okay, cool. I'm out the door at, 7 in the morning, and I don't know, sometimes I'm, 4 or 5 pounds over because, you know, behind us it was all woods. So you could actually take the woods through Stoughton to, you know, Canton to Sharon to Foxborough and, like, you know, be way the fuck out there, like, pounds over. And, you know, and, yeah, you still make it back by the time the streetlights come on, but you were just kind of out, you know, riding trails on your bike, your dirt bike, whatever. And, I mean, we had swamps, we had ponds, and so, like, you know, we go fishing, we go through, like, the brooks and catch, you know, crayfish and shit like that. I mean, sometimes I come home, I'm guilty, you know, and, you know, I mean, I would be, like, we were, like, out, you know, fucking around in a swamp, and you come home and it was like covered in shit. And I mean, I remember a couple of times having to like strip down on the front porch and like go in and take it down.
I recall that. Remember in those, because that was funny because that's back in the day we used to have school clothes and play clothes. God help you if you went somewhere after school and came home and your clothes were a hot mess. My mom, and remember, because back in the day, we didn't have no Tide with bleach and all this concentrated, get the grass stains out. You got a grass stain back in those days, your shit was ruined. And your mom would be pissed because she'd be taking you, what, to like Stewart's or Zaire and get you your geraniums you begged for, you know, oh, the matching, you know, match the giraffe bottom with the giraffe top. So your items or your outfit will be on point when you go to school. And if you mess up your giraffe bottom, which don't go with the bear top, and your clothes be all tore up, oh my God. And it's funny how you mentioned the thing about being home before the streetlights come on, and you would be like towns away. And you never thought about danger. And you mentioned about the social media. Do you think the world is worse, or just the fact that we're exposed to shit? I mean, think about it. We have no reason in Massachusetts to know what's going on in California. Back in those days, if it didn't happen locally, it was not our business. So you go, but now you got people, oh, this person got shot in Chicago. Oh, this kid got kidnapped in Washington. Oh, it's like, is the social media and just the media in general making parents scared? Like, could your son actually walk to, you know, Whitman? Not Whitman, but, you know, could it? I mean, do you think something would actually happen to him if he went for a walk and tried to come back? Or is it worth ass place?
I think it's a combination of both. You're always going to have that certain percentage of a population that is mentally unstable. And so obviously with a lot, you know, the larger the population gets, the larger that number gets, simple math. But I think with it being all up in your face all the time, you worry about it more than back in the day. Because, I mean, that shit would be a major issue that people didn't talk about. So I think it's a combination of both. But I mean, here in Brockton, like a month or so ago, there was a 12-year-old kid. Three people tried abducting him in a van.
What?
You know, saying, "Oh, your mother told us to go, come pick you up." And the kid was like, "Okay, what's my mother's name?" And they couldn't give the name, and the kid took off. So I mean, it's not like it doesn't happen. It does. So it's like I said, I think it's kind of a combination of both. Yeah, the world is a dangerous place, and there are fucked up people. And in my opinion, the more lenient that we get on these fucked up individuals, the more likely they are to, do the shit because they're gonna get a slap on the wrist. No,
that's a shame. And the scary thing about that is, but it seems like when I was growing up, it's sad to say, but I would hear about, you would hear about kidnappings happening all the time. I mean, you'd hear about, there's clowns going around kidnapping people, or like, you heard about it, but it was mostly local. And, but then our parents taught us, stranger danger, if someone, don't get in the car, someone offers you candy, don't do this. It's disturbing to think somebody would actually, drive up and kidnap a child. But I think, as you mentioned, it's a combination of both, of the fact that I think that we're just so exposed, and it's almost like the media wants us to be afraid, because they're always telling us the good shit. This person went missing, that person went missing. It's like, with all these fucking phones and shit and cameras, how is this shit still happening? I mean, everyone's so damn nosy. I'm surprised these people would even take a chance to even try to kidnap a child or do something crazy, because everyone went in the camera as someone.
I mean, they are sick individuals, so, it's not like, and they're, usually people that do shit like that, they're fairly meticulous in how they go about doing that shit.
Now, see, that's just like, evil behavior, because, that's like someone actually sets out to do that shit.
Yeah.
But, like, when we were kids, we had the whole Saturday morning cartoons, almost like routine. We'd have Saturday morning cartoons, we'd have lunch, watch cartoons, watch Godzilla and such stuff. we go outside and play. And I don't remember, you know, my mom saying, oh, Kevin, come back in at 4 and or 5 and check in, just make sure you're okay. I was gone the whole day, and I'd have my ass back at 7. And we haven't heard much from Chris. Chris, you mentioned that you were a good kid, but did you venture off as a child?
I did venture off. I would ride my bike from East Haun to the Walmart. I would wander around. I would get into a lot of trouble physically wise. Like I would always afraid to hike, but I'd try to climb things and then get stuck on top of it. I didn't venture too far because I didn't have a lot of people nearby to hang out with, so I didn't tend to want to venture by myself.
Now, where you live now, is that the house you grew up in?
For the most part, yes. I actually lived in Boston for about a couple of years, then I moved here. I've been here over 30 years. Almost 30 years, I'm sorry.
Because the area you live in now, that's very mean. That's all trees and stuff. So I can understand, like, parents being like, you know, oh, you know, Chris, be careful going out. But, I mean, when you went on your bike rides and stuff, I mean, your mom knew you were going to be okay. She knew you were going to come back.
Well, they never knew I was going anywhere. I remember going once to Walmart to get our gun, and I heard the wrong moment and fell off the bike and landed on my knee. So I came home with a bloody knee.
And she was pissed.
So I was like, oh crap, I'm bleeding everywhere. And the best part is my friend was in the bike shop, and left me outside to get the knee. So luckily there was a Girl Scout there, and they're both like, well, what's the bike? You can just help up. And I came home. I would come home and have a spring. I used to get a lot of bone chips from when I was a kid. Outdoors in the wilderness. And that came back to bite me on the ass when I ended up with bone spurs in my left knee.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm sorry, right knee. I had a lot of action fun. That was only very few times. A lot of times I was taking sides.
Now, are you an only child, or do you have siblings?
I do have siblings. I have a younger sister and a younger brother.
Now, did you guys all play together?
I would play sometimes with my sister, but my brother's 11 years younger than me, so by the time he was getting out, I was already out.
Right. You were already grown, and he was basically still in, you had graduated. He was already, he was in elementary school.
Yeah.
I do miss the days of the new. What are some of the old toys you guys remember? Like, I remember, like, when I say spoiled, my ass was spoiled. I didn't have too much of the outdoor toys because I'd rather be inside. But I remember, like, you know, with the Micronauts and the, I mean, I know people love the G.I. Joes and all, but I was more like into the weird stuff, like the Micronauts or the Sectars, the Crystars, the Black Stars, a lot of stars. The Black Stars, of course, there was He-Man. Would your parents allow you to? My parents wouldn't allow me to bring my toys outside. I wasn't allowed to bring my toys outside. They said that the other kids would either steal them or I'd give them away. So I was never allowed to bring my toys outside in the backyard. So that was one thing that kind of sucked. And play outside with my friends with my toys.
No, I could bring my toys outside. I think it was partly because my father knew that I'd fuck somebody up if they tried to take him my shit.
You bastard.
Huh?
You sound like you were a hellion.
Yeah, I was.
Now, did you trade any of your toys? Because my parents would be, I think it was because they were expensive, but my parents would keep track. If I went to school and came home with something, you know, you always try to sneak things out, you know, and your friend be like, oh, you got Koya, and I have Baron Kaza, you want to trade, and you go to school with one toy or whatever and come back with another, my mom would be pissed. That shit was expensive.
I don't remember ever trading a toy. I think that the toys that I did have, I were typically the ones that I really wanted anyway.
Right.
So
you had no reason to trade.
I never had to deal with that, and I think I remember bringing. I got the slave one, Boba Fett's ship, when I was a kid, and I brought that to school one time. And this one kid tried playing with it, and I got mad and I hit him, so I got in trouble. So I don't even think I was allowed to bring toys to school anymore.
it's funny you mentioned the slave one, and I always wanted to ask people about the slave one. Because you only really see that ship fly in the movie just a few times. When you play with it, when you made it fly, did you make it fly the way they did it in the movie, or did you lay it, or did you fly it flat?
Oh no, I made that ship fly like it was in the movies. I made it take off. It was like it was laying that like flat, and then it would like go up and go, and you have to turn. You have to turn like the fins and shit. Yeah.
So you did
like,
it right.
You gotta play with you gotta play with that shit. You gotta play with it legit.
Exactly, because I had the slave one, and I would get pissed when my brother would play it, and he would always play it like, you know, he would fly it like, you know how, like, I guess flat, but the bottom flat. And I would get upset, like, to the point of tears, where I'd say, you're flying it wrong. It doesn't fly that way. That's why it had the handle, and the bottom part had that handle, so you could fly it like that. And he would fly it. Right, and I think he did difference because I was younger, and he's 5 years older than me. But I would like be like in tears that he would fly that.
Yeah,
he was flying
the slave one. You lift because you lift it up, and then you turn it the way that it's supposed to fly. You push the button, and the fins would turn the right way.
It would tilt and turn. There's a lot of toys like that where I'm thinking you're doing it wrong. I had most of the Star Wars toys. I love me some Micronauts. I'm surprised Micronauts did not get popular as a kid. That shit was, they were all interchangeable, and they had some of the most badass characters, but they didn't have a cartoon. They had a comic book, but never a cartoon. I think they're being reissued by IDW. But I remember,
the comic came after the toys.
The comic came after the toy, right? Right. The toy wasn't based on the comic book.
Yeah, because actually the Crystar toys that you talked about before, I know that the comic came out after the toys, but it was actually pitched as a comic and toy tie-in.
Right, right. Cause they started doing that kind of combination thing because even He-Man had the little mini comic book that would come in the back of the toy, and I remember Lockjaw
was my favorite.
Lockjaw, Webster.
Fuck the rest of them. Lockjaw was my favorite.
was he the one that had the hook where you could hook up a string from one room to from one end of the room to the other, and he could slide down?
He had all the interchangeable pieces on the arm. So he had the hook.
Yes.
He had like all the different pieces, and then like his bottom jaw was actually like a metal thing.
And he could open and close it. I recall that. I didn't have all of those because at that time, you know, I was around the age when you kind of like, I don't want to say grow out of toys because I'm still into toys, but they say there's like over 100 He-Man. I'm thinking, I don't think there's
yeah, I didn't remember there being that many, but
I
they're
love
still
them.
Making He-Man toys.
Are they?
Yeah, there's, is it Maddie that makes fun of them?
Now, are they on the original He-Man, or are they kind of like a new version of He-Man?
Both. They're based off the cartoon, all versions. They're based off the comic book. And there's actually, one that's based off of Robot Chicken Sketch.
And who's putting these out? Who's making these figures?
I want to say they were Maddie Collectibles, you know, with like all the other rare toys out there.
Right, but so you can't find them at like a Walmart or a department
store. Some of the things you have to go a whole like pay for an entire year of figures just to get like the super special ones.
And they're out now?
They've been out for a while. Probably a lot of them have been discontinued.
Damn. Because I know it seems like He-Man's making this resurgence because they're doing He-Man, they're doing a He-Man and Thundercat team-up that comes out in October, and that's going to be sick. And they're still in the works of making a He-Man movie. I mean, I love me some He-Man. I got the whole box set of all the shows. But yeah, I love me some He-Man. I love all those toys back in the past. That's the only thing I can say I'm jealous about with the kids today is that their action figures. Well, I mean, we can still go out and buy them, of course. We still do, but their figures today are on point, and they put our shit to shame. Oh man.
Oh, the articulation and shit on some of these. Like, you remember? Remember the Cobra dude Sabotage? He had like the frozen Firefly. He had the he had the mask, just his eyes cut out. He had like, you know, the backpack that showed like all the shit that he had in his backpack. When Rob got into G.I. Joe's, all the shit that was in his backpack would come out of his backpack. Like explosives and extra clips and like all this craziness. And I was like, damn, this is so dope. He'd be like, oh, play with me? And I'd be like, yeah, I won't be that guy right there.
All we could do with our figures is, remember how like when the Star Wars figures came out, all you could do is move their arms and legs? And we lost our damn minds when G.I. Joe came out. And G.I. Joe, you can bend their knees.
Kung Fu grip.
The swivel arm. All we can do is swivel arm. Now you see these Marvel Legends. They have like 2,082 points of articulation. It's like they couldn't even pose our figures. They could just stand in line as one line. We had fun though. That was fun. And that's the only thing that I can say, I'd be like, oh, shit, because I knew for a fact, because me and my brother used to pose our figures and take pictures of them. But, of course, you know, they were all standing in a straight line. The Micronauts you could pose, the G.I. Joes you could pose, but nothing like today. I mean, you see some of these kids with these pictures on these action figure sites, they got, like, whole battle scenes going on. I'm thinking, are you serious? And they're mad expensive, too. They're like, what, $24 for a Marvel Legends figure?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the way you get
them. Because I'm still trying to find Black Panther. And people are finding them all over the place. I tried Walmart. I tried Target. I mean, I don't know why I just don't get it online like everybody else does, because I buy everything else online. But
with action figures being so big now, and like the actual profit that you can make off of wheeling and dealing action figures, you get these people that go in on like, you know, they know when the deliveries are, they know when the shit goes out, they probably know somebody in the back room, and they just go in and they buy like, you know, if you only get one of these per case, I'm gonna buy all the ones that you have. And then I'm gonna, you know, throw them up on eBay for twice of what I paid for them.
Because I go to the Walmart down by me and Raynham, and they haven't. And I'm thinking, are they not stocking their shit? Or as you mentioned, people are probably going in there on that delivery day, or they got friends to hook them up because it's the same damn figures I see. It's Captain Marvel.
Well, you can get them. You can get the Marvel Legends at Walmart for $20.
Right.
But then when you go to, like, New England Comics, they're going to charge you, like, $25. So you pay that extra $5, but I can also sit there and turn around and be like, hey, well, you guys just order me a case, and I can pick up, like, a figure a week. You know, they're not going to make me buy the whole case right up front, and I can just pick up one figure per week or something like that. And or even at that, you could say, hey, you know, I'd really like this Black Panther. If you put it in ahead of time, like, say, hey, I really want the Black Panther. Can you hold one for me?
Because I haven't even seen him at the comic book store. I mean, I'm not sure why figure is. I mean, it's not like it's rare. I mean, it's just Black Panther, but people are going like Black Panther crazy. It's like, you know, one person had that shit on eBay. It was worth like $60. I'm thinking.
Well, no, because the Marvel Legends is always like one that's like one to a case, and then so that's kind of going to be the harder one to get. And then, I think what it is they double front of them up, or there's something funky that they do. There's always one that's harder to get, and then you have the ones that people just want.
Right.
And, you know, obvious supply versus demand, you know. So, like, sometimes when you go to, like, Newberry Comics, like, when they have this come in, they already have a price down. You know, you go there, and, like, you know, I remember I went, Robert wanted a Carnage, and they had it at Newberry Comics. They wanted $50 for it.
How much?
I was like, hell no, I'm not spending $60.
They marked it up to $60?
Yeah. Yeah, Newberry Comics marked it up.
That's a
shame.
Yeah, Newberry Comics will mark it up for the collector's item.
As a collector's item?
Yeah, they mark this stuff up higher if it's a rare collector item. So that's a drawback.
Are Newberry Comics closing down? Because I know that, and that broke my heart, they closed down the one in Stoughton, I guess, maybe a couple of years ago, and I found it out the hard way. I figured, oh, let me go to Newberry Comics, and I drove down there, and shit wasn't there. Because Newberry Comics, I mean, I love me a comic book store, but back in the day, Newberry Comics was like, that was like before the whole geek explosion, that was like geek mecca. They had everything. Music.
No, they're still around. They're still doing well. They closed that one because they put up Season 1 in Braintree.
Well, they always had the one. They always had the one in Braintree for the longest time. It was at the Braintree Five Corners. They took that one
right.
And just moved it to the mall.
Right. I might go there today because that place, man. That you if you walked into Newberry Comic Books back in the 90s or whatever. And you walked out empty-handed, it was either because you were broke or you were broke. Because there was no way you could walk into that store, find something, if you were a geek. Or even if you weren't a geek, if you were a music hound, you found everything at Newberry Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my buddy Phil would go there, and I swear to God, we would be there for hours, literally, looking through music and DVDs, and they had comic books. And that back in those days, it, you know, they weren't like $4 a piece. So you would walk out with this bag of basically anything you could find. It would be like a keychain, a T-shirt, comic books. Your bag would be all like all fucked up and poked out because you'd have all these – it wouldn't just be a T-shirt. It would be like all this random shit just crammed in the bag. It would be all these sharp edges and shit. You're like, what the fuck did you buy? And you're like, oh, I bought an action figure. I got this. But you would literally – you could easily walk out that store with at least – $100 blown, just from dropping a bit.
Yeah, I mean it's still bad. I'm gonna go in.
Now, besides Braintree, is that the only one that we have now that's closest to us?
Dartmouth, Kingston, Attleboro. There's a bunch of them. They're all still here.
I might hit that up today. I haven't been. If you know me, I'll go in there. I'll wipe that shit out.
Now, we were talking about the Marvel Legends and how expensive they can get. I wish Bobby was on the call. Figure art, or however you want to call it, whatever you say, calling. Those get fucking huge with money.
Oh, yes. Robert, those are the ones they have at the comic book store in the glass, right? The Dragon Ball ones. They're like $70, maybe even more. I got the girl from The Ring, and she's figure art. And I lucked out because Homegirl goes for like $90, and I got her for like $30. And I was so shocked. I'm thinking, wow, I hadn't seen this figure, a horror movie figure, in a long time, especially an Asian horror film. So I got the girl from The Ring. She comes with another head. Because of the TV she climbs out of, it's an awesome figure. But those figures aren't those are highly priced because of they only make like what 5,000 of those or something. They're really rare.
They're rare, and it depends on the figure how rare. Like, I want to get all the original White Wolf and Power Ranger ones.
That's what I want.
Pink Ranger alone goes $120 eBay.
A piece?
Yep, just a Pink Ranger. Just one Pink Ranger, $150. I'm sorry, $120. I think White is $140. Green is actually 90, I think, right now. I think it was down in price. But, yeah, they're rare. And what's making it worse on the Power Ranger figures is people are getting them autographed now and charging even more money for the figures.
Right, because they're going to, like, I saw a few of those when they had the people at the Rhode Island Comic Con, the Ranger characters, and they were autographing them. Not the figure itself, but, you know, the box, of course, it comes in. And then they're on eBay. They're on eBay for like literally $200 and something. Those figure arts, those are actually my favorites, because I think, aren't those the ones that do those like really like they're really like detailed like Venoms, or like, you know, they like add all that extra shit to them. Like, they got like the futuristic Spider-Mans and stuff. Once you see the
preview, they're one of those companies.
And the thing is, too, I like when you can see them outside the package, because you don't want to order them online because you're afraid they're going to be, like, what, 3 inches high. So, but they're pretty good size. I mean, they are heavily detailed. And I would honestly buy the Rangers, but I want to find them in a set. Can you find those in a figure art set?
No, you can buy a lot of them, like all of them from the Megazord, but you're looking at like 300 and something at least.
Oh, forget that. Forget that.
There are some sets of the other Rangers that were like Comic Con exclusive you can get as a box. But you have, usually they're all individual. And we're also the worry about buying them online is you've got these real figures and then you've got the knockoffs you put up there. You look almost exactly like the Crouching.
Now for those Power Ranger figures, is it only from a certain season, or do they have them for each season? I mean, granted, those are 30, there's like 25 seasons plus, but maybe the main
one. For America, we have Mighty Morphin. They're basically a Japanese company. You can get almost every other Japanese Power Ranger set.
Oh, nice.
They are. I want to get like the ones that are the higher range ones there. Bastardized in America, but they look really cool. They come with extra figures to me, like the Megazord cockpit, but they're really pricey.
I think now that we've been talking about all these toys and such, I think I might take a ride to, because I haven't been to Newbury. I think the last time I went to Newbury Comics was with Chris McGibbon, and that was like, I want to say, sometime before Christmas. Yeah, it was around Christmas time, because I remember they had a red alien queen figure that was a statue, and it was gorgeous. It was marked down, and I'm wondering if it might even be marked down on clearance a little bit more. But I mean we only got like 10 more minutes, but I do miss being a kid. I mean, I'm a big kid at heart. I mean, you guys are the same way too. We love our figures. Because Robbie, do you buy the figure art?
If it's something that I want,
Do you have the Guy King?
Yeah, I actually have a couple Guy Kings. Some Guy Kings. Actually, I'm not just a figure art, but I mean, Vanguard Ace and Guy King, and I got a bunch of old Star Wars figures, I don't know. I'm not like a specific. I used to do the Star Wars Unleashed characters. I even do some pop figures. Yeah, I do a little bit of everything. So,
now, do you have all yours displayed?
Yeah.
See, that's what I need to do.
So I open mine. Because I buy the shit for me. I don't buy it just because, like, ooh, I need to get this Batman because it's an exclusive. I don't do that because I don't really fucking like Batman. too. So,
right.
You know, like, I do like the Bushido statues. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. I love that. Those are, like, my favorite.
Those are mine, too. Now, did they slow down? Because for a while, they were like, boom, 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 boom. You don't see too much from them anymore.
No, they're still coming. There's
I haven't seen the Harley Quinn one
coming out.
But what about for Marvel, though? Because they were, like, unleashing Marvel ones like crazy. I mean, they're doing the DC,
but
just had
Lady Deadpool. Lady Deadpool just came out. Before that, I think it was Lady Deadpool, then I think it was Jubilee before her, I think Wasp before her.
Jubilee's been out for a while.
And there's a Spider Gwen coming out.
Spider Gwen is coming out at the end of the year. I'm hoping that they do a Storm with a Mohawk. And give us, and Diana, please give us, I don't know why they keep like, you know, holding back on that girl. Like, you know, give her a Bushido statue, because that's on point if they keep her in a cool-ass pose. Because I don't know if you've gone through, and if you've ever checked the ones that we have, how much those go for now. That shit's insane. Like, Mystique is $700.
I've looked some of them up. I'm like, really? I'm like, you are that much?
My friend was like, oh, you should sell them. I'm like, you know what? I'm not buying these to make a profit later down the line. Like you said, I'm buying them because I want them. They're mine. I don't want to, you know, buy them now and sell them later. Because to me, just like my comic books. People say, oh, you should sell your comic books. That's my history. That's part of me. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, when my comic collection got ruined, I was crushed.
I don't know what I would. That's one thing when you hear about people when they say, oh, they had a fire, and you're thinking, oh my God, if there was ever a fire to break out in all my shit. I mean, granted, I want to be alive and people make sure everyone's safe, but could you imagine just losing your whole? Like, people don't understand that. Like, for me, like, losing my comic collection would be like losing a photo album.
Yeah.
A family photo album to someone else. I mean, that's how important my shit is to me. Like, it sounds selfish, but, like, I would be crushed.
Because
that's my shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, to me, I'm thinking, I would never sell my stuff because that's, like, it's like something to be passed on to me. Like, oh, no, like, I wouldn't give away, like, you know, like my father's prom ring just because it's worth a lot. No, that's mine. That's something I hold dear to myself. All my stuff I hold dear, maybe not the D1s and such, but my comic books and my figures and things. No, that's my shit.
So, I mean, it's, you know, it's part of who we are. You know,
right.
You know, it's like, you know, in my bedroom I have a lot of the, you know, original art or the prints that I've gotten. I have kind of rotate them around. Like, if those were to get ruined, I'd be fucking devastated, too.
Yeah, because those are also, those ones that you have, that's, like, one-time-only shit, too. Like, they're, like Humberto, if he draws you a picture or something, there's no other picture like that. If that shit gets ruined, that's it.
Oh, yeah, I've already, I already, he hit me as soon as the first thing I did after getting the tickets is I emailed his manager. I'm like, hey, I'll be in New York. I'm on my death head.
So now, is he going to draw you a picture of death head?
Yeah. Humberto, his commissions, I want to say he'll do black and white commissions for $150. And then he does full color for $250. So he's actually extremely reasonable compared to others.
And now this will be like 11x17, or will it be like an 8x10 that he'll do?
He does them on like, it's probably about like an 8x10, something like that, about that size.
I love his art. I would love to get something from him. And I can't pronounce his name. I'm just going to call him Joe Mad. Something from him.
He's a douche. He's a douche.
He is?
For basically for like a bust drawing, basically from like sternum up of a character, he charges like $1,000.
Say what?
He charges like $1,000. He said, oh, go see. This motherfucker's going to tell me, oh, go through my sketchbook and see if there's something in there that you want. So I'm flipping through, and he is this dope. His dope pencil sketch of Link jumping forward with the sword, the master sword, coming at you, right? And I was like, oh, and, you know, Robert loves, he loves Zelda. You know, he loves Legend of Zelda. So I was like, oh. I was like, how much for this? Dude wanted like 3 G's. And I was like, yeah, you're out of your fucking mind, dude. I'm out of here.
$3,000 for a picture that's not even colored in?
Yep.
That's insane. That's when you're taking advantage of your fan base, because it's like I'd rather have 100 different sketches and charge you $10 than one fucking sketch and charge you $500.
All right. In some ways, it's I feel like that, but then in other ways I'm sitting there like, as like an artist, if I could get that, I'd get it. You know, like there was that picture that, you know, Nen did that I loved of Magic. She sold that for $4,000.
You're shitting me, the one that with her leaning over the sword?
Yeah, she sold that for $4,000.
But was that an auction price, or did she ask for that? That much.
No, that's what somebody offered her. Nen's stuff is expensive, but Nen also does pencil. She does the pencils, and it's all in like, you know, watercolors and stuff like that. She does some stuff in oils. I don't know if that was in oils or not. So, you know, she's actually like painting her shit. She's not just doing like, if she does a commission, she's doing like, the commission's gonna take her like all fucking day.
And that picture is gorgeous. I mean, imagine if they took that picture and made a statue of that. That would be badass. Because the day you showed me that, I cropped that shit out. That was the background on my phone. I was like, that is probably one of the baddest pictures I've ever seen of Magic. And I've seen Magic done by, you know, Scott Campbell, who did a good Magic. But that shit there, that was, she put her hair. Everything was on point. Her stance, her sword. I said, you know, she captured Magic. I said, that was probably one of the baddest pictures of Magic. I mean, if she should actually get that as a poster, that would be a
no. She's doing Prince of It already.
Oh, she is.
Yep.
Oh man, I'm getting one of those. I mean, that shit. Hopefully, it will be. Now, when you say a print, does that mean it will be a poster or just 8x10?
No, she has all different size prints.
How much you think she'll be? How much you think she'll be charging now?
I want to say that for like a decent sized print, she does like they start at like $20 for
that. Bad.
No. She's like her prints. She's actually really fair on. You know, on the original art, you know, think about what she put into that, because I mean that was. She did that in steps, and like she put a lot of time into that one painting, and that's it. It's a legit painting. So,
I would love to get one of her prints, but unfortunately, we have to wrap it up because we only got 1 minute to go. So, we'll definitely have to continue again, y'all. Hopefully, you guys listened in. We're gonna end the show with one of course Robert's dope outro creations. I think it's off the chain. But everyone, have yourself a good weekend, and we will talk to y'all listening in the next 2 weeks. Take care, y'all.
Right,
I don't want to go.
Not until you appreciate what a jerk I am.
My reflexes are too fast.
Is that gasoline I smell?
No! You lose! Perfect!
Come, X-Men!
Love.
the math in the verse. If you take a boat in the air that you don't love, she'll shake you off just as sure as a turn in the world. Love keeps her in the air when she ought to fall down. Tells you she's hurting before she keens. Makes her home.